Welcome to Hammer Down.
Dad.
The number one sports gambling podcast coming out of the Pat McAfee Incorporated office. I am your host, Tone Diggs, joined by the man himself, Pat McAfee, who went 2-1 yesterday and is still on fire.
No big deal. Great to be here. Just had a salad, feeling a little bit healthy. How are you guys? Great to be here. Pies on. Can't wait to talk to you.
Also joined by the nuke man himself, dropping all the nukes that you need to know, and unless he doesn't, Bubba Gumpino.
Good day, Tony.
Also, the host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, the Daily Coach, and writes for The Athletic, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Thank you,
Michael.
Hey, Mike.
I appreciate all the Daily Coach. So we got a big boost.
Okay.
Let's go, Mike.
Big one. So hopefully, I appreciate all your help. Thank you.
The Hammer Down boost. Just don't forget about us, pal, when you sell that for $1 billion.
No chance.
You here yesterday, you were 2-0 with the Steelers and the Bucks, and then I also saw that you gave out the Dolphins on Twitter, so you had 3-0. Are you heating up, Michael?
You know, I think we're getting a better handle. I think these injuries, you really got to pay close attention to them. You know, I mean, like New England's offensive line was a mess at that game. They played horrible. They needed practice, obviously, but that line was a mess. You know, we knew that Philadelphia's line was going to be a mess. That's why that line was moving in that direction pretty much the whole. I mean, these injuries, you got to really pay close attention to them. And I think that's why you really can't make your picks until close up to game time if you really feel good about them.
So one of those games that you won and then Pat won and then Gumpy won, it was actually Pat's Super Boost. Which is hot, 3-0 in the last 3 weeks.
Lock.
Was Steelers -3.5.
He never doubted it either. That was over in the first quarter.
It was quick. I mean, Baker Mayfield, everybody's burying him right now. I don't think they should be burying Baker. I think they should be lifting up that Steelers defense. They are fucking unbelievable, Paisa. And if Ben Roethlisberger can continue to build this connection with Chase Claypool, they are a problem in the AFC.
I think, you know, like, and I'll say this about the Bears, too. Everybody says the Bears aren't 5-1. I think there's four really good defenses in the NFL. And when you're a good defense, you win ugly. So it's the Bears, the Steelers, the Ravens, and
Bucks.
Buccaneers. The Bucks. Yeah, that's right. The Bucks are the fourth.
We got
one.
You.
Yeah.
You were daily coaching over there. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, those are legitimately the four defenses.
And I think the Bears win ugly. I mean, their defense is hard to play. And if their offense doesn't make mistakes, they're pretty good. So I'm with you. The Steelers just dominated. And they're the perfect team to play against Baker because he can't really handle that pressure from the inside. When he steps up, it's hard on him. And Tuitt is really a good player, too, with those two outside rushers.
He might be Tuitt just from what he – out of those four, I mean, TJ's getting the pub with all the sacks and then Cam and Butter there, but Tuitt might be playing the best out of all of those four, and if that stays the same, they're going to be tough to beat all season, and you can't run against them, which is going to be exciting to see next Sunday against the Titans. But I wish I could have joined you guys on the Super Boost for that one.
Yeah, why didn't you?
Well, I don't ever bet on the Steelers because I don't want to jinx them and make them lose.
Smart. It's very smart. I tried to jinx them. I was going to tweet out about how great they were playing early. But I actually backed off it because I went to Super Boost to continue to gain momentum.
So funny little, it was 24-7 going into half. And there was like some weird stuff. Steelers were doing some weird stuff near the end of half and like the momentum started to swing. And I was like, oh, fuck, if they come back and win, like this is going to be a disaster for me. So I threw 50 down on the money line for the Browns to come back and win just in case.
Thank you.
Just
very nice of you to do that. Very, very nice of you to jinx the Browns.
There's no chance they were cut. Baker was,
Michael?
I mean, poor Baker. He had to get like, I bet he got like a, had to get a complete, his body has to hurt today. I mean, between he and Carson Wentz, I don't know who's in more pain today. They've got the shit beat out of them, both of them.
All right. So now that you brought up the Carson Wentz and you brought up we talked about the Titans a little bit. Hand up, I was 3-1 at 4:00 yesterday. Then at 4:05, I was 1-3, specifically because of the Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens decided that they just weren't going to close it out, and they let an interception go right between their hands on that very last drive. And then the Titans on the other side, the Texans were the Texans, and they couldn't close that out. So So that was pretty fucking awesome there, and I knew that was going to happen. That was pretty cool.
What was there? Like, there was a minute 40 left, and you're up 10 and a half?
Yeah. I think it was like 80, above like 86% in both of those games to cover before it didn't. But, Michael, what did you think? We talked about it a little bit on Pat's show, the decision for Romeo to go for two there to try to make it a 9-point game to win, because I think he might have known, just like Deshaun Watson knew, like, if you give the Titans the ball back, they're going to come down and score, and then we're going to go to overtime and probably lose there.
Well, I thought that if you go for the kick, it takes three events to beat you. It takes a long drive, a two-point play, and overtime. If you go for two, it only takes two events to beat you. The long drive and then overtime. And so I would have kicked it, and I would have said, okay, at one of those drives, I got to make a play at some point. I got to make a play somewhere. I got to get off the field. I've got to find a way to make a play. And you know, Romeo took the other course. This is 2 weeks in a row that all these analytical people, they say it's a smart thing to do. Yet, you know, they are, you know, they're sitting there and they're going to be on doctoral studies 100 years from now, still doing it. Meanwhile, the guy's going to get fired from it. So, you know, and then, you know, I don't understand Ron Rivera. He says he would only do it on the road, never at home. Did he know there was nobody in the stadium? Seriously. There was nobody there.
Serious, Mike.
That was horrible. And look at he had to do was, the Giants had 120 yards of passing offense in the game. Their leading rusher was Daniel Jones. See, I think what we're missing with this is because we look at it as an item. We look at it, go for two, don't go for two. But that's not really the question. The question is, who's in control of the game and who's in the lead? If you think you're in control of the game and you do it, then you feel like you're going to win the game. But if you don't feel like you're in control, then do it.
That's
like, I didn't feel like Houston wasn't in control because you can move the ball on Texas.
That's why Vrabel kicked the extra point at the end then, right?
I would have kicked the extra point there and felt like I got a chance to make a play, one play along this three-pronged way. I would have done that.
I'm going for two every time. I don't know.
If that's your strategy, then I think that's what you should do all the time. But like the Eagles, who make no sense at all what they do. Sometimes they go for two. How about the Eagles? They got somebody in our group 2 weeks in a row now. They got you, yep. Tone. They got me last week, right? Here they are. They draft Jalen Hurts in the second round, the ultimate gadget guy. On the most crucial play of the game, he's standing next to Doug Peterson.
Well, they did, which this is the more mind-boggling part. They ran that exact same two-point play that they ran at the end of the game with Carson Wentz. They ran it earlier in the game for two with Jalen Hurts. Same exact play, just the other side. Same exact result.
Yeah.
It was frustrating there. And then the other team that fucking got all of us yesterday was the Atlanta Falcons just blowing the doors off the Minnesota Vikings.
I did not see that one coming. I'm glad I stayed away from it. I was tempted to almost take Minnesota. I'm glad I stayed away.
Yeah, is this an indictment on Dan Quinn? Julio Jones got the ball every single play, and he just dominated everybody. Matt Ryan looked like he could sling it again. I mean, I don't understand if they love Raheem or they hate Quinn or they just woke up finally, or Dan Quinn got a raw deal that he got fired before the team fully came together. They looked like a different squad in Minnesota yesterday.
Same thing. I mean, Houston's looked like a different squad 2 weeks in a row. Look at Houston's offense yesterday. I mean, that's the thing about Tennessee. Not to change the subject, but Tennessee and Seattle are similar teams. Both can't play defense.
Yeah. That was like the Titans, they had no business winning that game. But sometimes like Houston and the Eagles and teams that are struggling, they like that's the difference between winning and losing. Obviously in the NFL is it could be one play here and there, and that losing team is always going to make the mistake and for the outcome of the game. It seems like that way.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that Atlanta's played their asses off. Minnesota, Minnesota had a bunch of injuries. Dantzler, the rookie corner, was out. They had a bunch of injuries. And then Kirk Cousins, you would think he would have played good 2 weeks in a row against the same scheme. He didn't do it this week.
All right, then let's go down to a game where Gumpy had the money line for the Panthers here.
Here we go.
The
Gumpy.
Bears win there. Do you think that was – so that when we talked about it earlier, do you think that's mostly the Bears' defense? Because Teddy had a bad game.
Yeah, it's all Teddy didn't play well because of the Bears' defense. I mean, that's it was a hard game for them. And you know, when you teams like what the Bucs do, what the Steelers do, what the Bears do, you know, and what the Ravens do is they make the game one-dimensional. Great defenses make the game one-dimensional. You can't run the ball on us. You cannot run the ball. So you have to spend most of your day figuring out pass plays to beat them, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. You know, the Eagles didn't rush for 100 yards against Pittsburgh, and Sanders had, like, what, an 80-yard run? For
yeah, 75, yeah.
He still didn't get 100 yards rushing on him. It's and there was no way. We said it on Friday. There was no way that Cleveland was going to run the ball on Pittsburgh. They just weren't going to do it.
That felt like the first game the Panthers really, really missed McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. They did. Yeah, because he's a matchup guy. They didn't, you know, he would have helped them in that game, especially to create some space. But look, the Bears, say what you want. They're 5-1. They win ugly, but usually you win ugly when you got a good defense.
Yeah, the Panthers had so many 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5, and they just couldn't pick them up yesterday.
Yeah, it was a hard one. I mean, it was a tough one.
Are we just betting against the Jets, by the way, till the end of the year? Oh, feels like we are.
Oh, and 6 straight up and ATS.
Line. I think when I Sunday morning when I sent out my – I would have taken that line, I think, if it would have been 13.5.
I mean, it would have covered, too. It would have, yeah. It feels like that's always going to hit. It's the right move.
What's it this week? I mean, this week I think they're already at 11, and you know that's going to get bet up. Where is it there?
The Bills. Bills were minus 10.5 they opened at.
It's at 12.5 right now.
Hey, and then do you think – so obviously the Jets are bad. The Washington football team's bad. The Giants are bad. Do you think the Jaguars are potentially showing the team that we all thought that they potentially might be before the season?
I think like Herm Edwards, like Denny Green once said, we are who they thought they were. You know, I mean, you know, I thought they might have a chance. My Florida teaser fell apart because of them. I mean, they're, you know, that was going to click too. That three came with the heat, and you know, they couldn't even keep it close. I mean, the Chargers are an 8-point favorite against them going into next week.
Yeah, the Chargers, who I believe they have one win against the Cincinnati Bengals, who did decide to blow a game yesterday. What were they up, 21-0?
21 zip. Joey Burrow looked like the greatest player to ever play football in that first quarter, first half there against the Colts. And then Phillip Rivers started slinging that thing all over the field. Bankruptcy comes slow, and then it comes quick. Tell that thing to slow down. Phil Rivers still got it, Paizon.
Yeah, you know, but we predicted, I said this on my show, I said it on, he was going to have a good game against the Bengals. That's exactly the kind of team he plays good against. Now, if he does it against the Bucks, the Bears, the Steelers, the Ravens, then I'll have that, we can have that bankruptcy conversation.
Who do they play next? They got a bye this
week. Yeah, they do have a bye.
They, you know, they're going to self-scout. They're going to figure it out. Phil Rivers all the way back, baby. Don't you worry about it.
Michael, I was saying this to Pat earlier. Now, is it a bad thing? Yes, the Colts got the win, but is it a bad thing that they did come back because now there's no doubt that Phil is at least going to get a few more starts for that team?
I mean, one of the reasons I like the Colts and lay the points is I thought Reich was going to do everything in his power to make sure Phil played well. I said that too, and I think he did. I think there was no way Reich was going to let Philip not play good in that game because he wanted to bury all the doubters. And I think that's what happened. I didn't think he thought their defense would play as poorly as they did, though.
Yeah, 1,000%. And then two more games left. Bucks, Packers at Bucks. Do we take anything away from that on the Packers side, or we just take away that the Bucks defense played really, really well? And then Tom and Gronk actually looked like they were starting to get it back together.
I thought Gronk looked like his old self a little bit, didn't you guys? I thought he looked like he had some juice in him.
Oh, yeah. The screen, they ran like a little tunnel screen back to the left. He didn't pull away from anybody. He still gained 4 yards. But then the catches he was making, I mean, he looked like he was all the way back. It's like he's comfortable being a football player again. It was, that's problems if Tom and Gronk start hitting, you know, stride for stride with each other. And if they're going to be able to keep him healthy, which feels like they're going to be able to do.
And that defense, look, I think Todd Bowles is really good. That defense is hard to play now. I mean, you guys will have Aaron Rodgers on the show this week, but that wasn't a lot of fun for him out there now.
You got any questions that you think you would want Aaron to answer? Michael?
You know, I think to me, when this is what worries me about Green Bay, is when they go against a really good coordinator, are they willing to be adaptable enough within their scheme to really handle it from a protection standpoint? Like, I'm always concerned when LaFleur was at Tennessee, when he was in Tennessee, they played the Ravens before he became a head coach. They were 0 for 10 on third down against the Ravens in that game. And I always felt like that LaFleur's protection schemes are a little limited, and people that know how to attack protections get a good handle on them. And yesterday, watching it, I kind of felt that Bowles really had his protection schemed out. And I would be – I mean, Aaron's not going to answer it, but I would feel like – did you feel like you had everything handled protection-wise from what they were bringing?
All right, I'll ask it tomorrow.
You will.
I'm going to look like a super smart guy when I ask him that question, too, so I appreciate it.
They also – they mentioned on the broadcast, I believe Troy was the one that mentioned it, like that – so far this season, they have been one of the teams that uses motion at snap more than other teams in the league. And they pointed out that they were not doing that at all yesterday. So is there a reason for that, do you think?
Yeah, because they're trying to figure out where the blitzes are coming from, and they don't want to make sure that they don't get overloaded. So you got to remember, Todd Bowles comes from – there was an old coordinator before you guys were born named Richie Pettibone. He used to play in the league. The reason Todd Bowles is a coach, this is a fascinating story. So Todd Bowles was a player at Temple, and he didn't get drafted by anybody, and he signed as a free agent with the Washington football team, which was then called the Redskins.
Oh.
And he ended up starting as a free safety for Richie Pettibone, who had one of the hardest defenses in all of football to learn. Everything was checks. Everything was automatics. Blitz to the formation, blitz away. And Bowles started, and Parcells said, that son of a bitch has got to be really smart. He'd be a hell of a coach. And that's how Parcells hired him as a coach. And so a lot of the stuff that Todd has evolved around comes from some of the Pettibone concepts, where it's what they call automatic blitz the formation, which is they're getting this certain look, you're going to get this pressure. If you motion out of it, you're getting this pressure. So a lot of teams don't want to motion out of it so they can predict the kind of pressures they're going to get.
Look at
good
that.
To know.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, speaking of coaches and where
Pettibone.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Pettibone.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is a great story. So this is before Belichick came. So in Cleveland, notorious signal stealers. Like, it always, you know, and this is back in the day where, you know, people gave the signals out in front of God and everybody, you know. And Richie Pettibone was one of those guys that always had his call sheet tied to his jacket, you know, and so he could use his hands and be demonstrative. And his signals were impossible. Like, he never gave a signal. Like, not even the late, great Howard Mudd could have stolen his signals. There's no chance, right? You know, and you could never see it. And so he was so complex because he would give maybe one thing, but that meant five things. And it was so hard to see, and I think that's part of that's the other issue.
Does that happen on defense a lot? I don't think so.
What, the double checks?
If this formation is, we're doing this. If this formation is doing this.
People have gotten away from it. It was a big Buddy Ryan thing back in the 80s, Pat. It was a blitz automatic, and Jeff Fisher ran it at Tennessee a bunch. Now people don't do it as much. There's some concepts that are built in. There's obviously everybody double calls the coverage. So if you motion, we're going to go 2-3, 3-2, you know, 0-1, you know, everybody double calls, you know, under 34, check to two, whatever the call is, you know, so they try to double call it. And that's why Peyton never liked motion. That's why he always wanted Reggie Wayne in the same spot. He wanted Marvin Harrison in the same, because he wanted 25 seconds to look at what they were doing. He didn't want to have to recalibrate.
That makes sense. And speaking of coaches where they got their start, were you with McVay's grandfather when you were with Walsh?
The 49? I love the man. We played the New York Giants on – I was a young kid. I mean, I just started – I was – in 1984, we played the Giants on Monday Night Football. By the time I got home, my apartment was robbed. They stole everything in my apartment, and my man John McVay gave me like a whole new wardrobe. He was so nice to me. He was tremendous, yeah. Tremendous guy. I just talked to him last month. In fact, you remind me, I need to call him this week.
I had no idea that he came from a generational football family. I didn't know, because a 32-year-old head coach, you would assume that he had to have some sort of connection. Until last night, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, so his grandfather is John, and, you know, and then they're very close with the Gruden family. And that's how he kind of got, John's father, John Gruden, Senior used to coach for Coach McVay at Dayton.
Jesus, listen to that.
What a run.
We just saw, so Todd Bowles, Temple, okay, undrafted, goes in with Pettibone. Pettibone's the reason why they're running blitz automatic Parcells. In this thing. Yep. We just because Parcells said that son of a bitch is smart. Let's put him in there. Now we got Sean McVay's grandpa, knew John Gruden's dad. They were coaching it. I mean, this is insane. The life lessons and football lessons that you just pop out of just sweat is unbelievable.
Well, also in that game last night, I mean, Kyle Shanahan from Mike Shanahan, who put in a tree that he came from. So with that game last night, with those two and their pedigree matching up with each other, and you texted us that we should be live betting Jared Goff because you could tell early if he's going to be comfortable or not for the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a dead giveaway. National TV game, he's on it. When he's got that blank stare, it's a blank stare.
Deer in the headlights right
it
away.
Didn't you see it? As I've told you, my numbers were messed up on the Rams. I would have taken the Rams. I'm glad I didn't play it. A lot of people in the circus sport contest, you know, that big one out there in Vegas, a lot of people took the Rams. That was a popular pick. And you know, that one flew up right and down the flames. But we saw that line movement. I mean, that was another example of line movement on Sunday.
Do you guys...
That line moved to the 49ers. I mean, the only line that moved, and the line that was moving during the week was the Browns line to them. But every other line that was moving won.
Oh, is that a Gumpy nuke right there?
That's good, Mike.
It's a Gumpy nuke.
Every other one was moving. The Panthers, that line was moving to the Bears, right? The Washington football team, that line was moving to the Bears. The Eagles line was moving away from the Eagles, right? And then the 49er Ram line was moving to the 49ers.
The Niners' offense looked better, but I just don't think their D is going to hold up without Bosa.
And that's what bothered me last night about Goff. He was playing like Bosa was on the field. He was rushing everything.
They were running the ball all over him too, Mike.
I know. I mean, and it looked like that field. I mean, if I had to play Aaron Donald, I would grow the grass another 8 inches to make it thick for his ass. Because if he gets off on the ball, it's dangerous.
It's like what Notre Dame used to do to USC.
No doubt. It's what Iowa State. Whenever you watch an Iowa State game at home, always remember that. Matt Campbell does a good job. That field's usually wet and it's thick.
The Bears used to do it. There's a lot of places that.
Oh, 1,000%. All right. So speaking of lines moving in games tonight, or in games, we got two games tonight. Let's get to that for tonight. First game is Chiefs at the Bills. The Bills are +5.5. The line open at +3, so it's moved 2.5 points. Huh. 61% of the bets are on the Chiefs, with 73% of the money is on the Chiefs. Michael, do you have any thoughts on tonight's game?
I really, really like Kansas City. You know, in the circuit contest that came out at 3.5, there are a lot of people in the circuit contest taking that line was too light. My line, as you guys see on the sheet, was right at 5.1. I think that's the right line. I'm still would take the Chiefs here. I'm going to go Chiefs tonight. I worry about Buffalo's injuries. I mean, they're going to go after Josh Norman. I know Sammy Watkins isn't playing, but they got enough depth. Le'Veon Bell won't play either tonight, but they've got enough depth on that Kansas City team. I think they're going to make some plays in this game. I think they'll be a problem, and I think they'll get some problems for the big fella, for Josh Allen. They'll make him speed up his game a little bit.
All right, so
what are you?
I wasn't going to give a pick for this game, but I have to leave because I got a call in like a minute right now. I'm going to go with the Chiefs because of what Lombardi just said. If he likes them, I like them. And I'm going to go with the Cardinals maybe by 2 scores tonight.
Wow.
That's going against his Dallas bomb. Pick for the week, which I love.
And you got the Cowboys, Lombardi?
Oh, that's my pick of the week. I love the Cowboys.
Oh, no. We'll see. Pick, we'll see Thursday,
that's
Paul.
That's one of the other games that the line is moving.
I know.
Moving to that line was 2.5, and now the Cowboys are given a point.
What's that?
Who's the leader?
You're the leader. You're the leader. But Michael, I'm also going with the Chiefs tonight, just because I think last time though they played not well, then they played on Monday night against the Ravens and they looked incredible. So I'm taking
on the road too, by the way.
Yes, and so I'm taking the Chiefs, especially with, I think Milano and Trey White are both questionable, so who knows what goes on there. So I'm taking the Chiefs in that game. Gumpity, what do you have for that game?
So Mahomes, in his career, when the line moves in his direction, he's 10-4-1 against the spread. Road team in this matchup, 7-2 against the spread last 9. Chiefs 5-1 against the spread last six, following a straight up loss.
Yep, there it is.
Bills 1-3-1 against the spread their last five as a dog. And the Chiefs are 12-2 against the spread their last 14. I love the Chiefs here, right, especially if Trey White's up, Mike.
As a show, we are on the Chiefs tonight. And then, Michael, you said you're on Dallas. Pat is on the Cardinals. I'm staying away because I think I like the Cardinals on paper better. But no, like when you see that the majority of the money is on the Cowboys, and then the line basically went from -3 to -1 for the Cowboys this week. With those two things being opposite, I'm just gonna go ahead and stay away. I'm gonna be a responsible gambler and stay away from that game. Gumpy, what do you got for it?
Mike, what do you think about the total on this game? It feels like it'd be under if the Cowboys are gonna win this thing.
Currently 55.
I think the unders were, I think, 8-4 yesterday. I think they're starting to call holding penalties.
We're back,
again.
Baby. Yeah. We're back.
I think we're back to normal football. I mean, look, I hate to break this news to, you know, but that Baltimore game got destroyed by the officials.
Correct.
Yes. That's an easy cover for Baltimore if they don't get those officials and some of those calls.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm sorry, but I mean, you know, my point to you is I think you handicapped the game right. I think you just got some – it's one of those days where you just don't get it. I like – this line movement, this is sharp money moving the Cowboys. This isn't the public moving them.
Yeah, Cardinals haven't hit an over all year either.
Yeah, and without Chandler Jones, I think their defense is so liable. I don't think they're very good on defense.
Yeah. Isaiah Simmons has been he doesn't even play, Mike.
I know. Well, it's because he doesn't have a position. See, that's the problem. He's an athlete. They don't know what to do with him. And the reason he was so good at Clemson is because they kind of knew what to do with him. But that ain't the NFL. You got to have a plan for the guy.
Well, isn't that – the Panthers are kind of doing that with their rookie. I can't – his name has escaped me off the top of my brain. You know who I'm talking about? Oh. Chin, maybe? Is it Jeremy Chin?
Chin, he's a safety, but he can play safety. You know, he can play back there. Where this kid's really not a safety – he can't match up. He was too stiff. He couldn't match up. He needs to be a downhill rusher or a fifth rusher attacking the pocket. He really needs to be an inside linebacker, and I'm not sure he can be that.
Mike, are you worried about Malone and his Cowboys defense down there?
I am really worried about Sergeant Malone and that beat tonight. You know, I'm hoping that when they shoot one of his, you know, when they take one of yours to the hospital, you put one of them in the morgue.
You're goddamn right you are,
Mike.
That's
what I'm worried about.
You're goddamn right. That's why I just can't responsibly take that defense yet until I see.
Do you think Vander Esch makes a difference tonight at all?
I do. I think he'll help them a little. You know, because here's the thing about the Cardinals. They scored 15 on the – they couldn't score they struggled to beat Detroit.
Yeah.
They couldn't beat the Panthers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they struggle in those games. I just think Dallas is – I mean, here's the other thing. I don't think Patrick Peterson's playing very well. They don't have a pass rush. How are they going to cover these Cowboys receivers?
Yeah, I know. It's my stay away is because I don't think I know exactly who the Cardinals are. Just like last night, I don't think I know who the Niners and the Rams are yet. Like,
the Rams are. We know they're fraudulent. They're 4-0 against the East. It's just that I didn't know how fraudulent they were.
All right, Michael. So you'd have the Cowboys tonight if you were had to take a game you or take a pick. You would take the Chiefs, right? It's not an actual pick, correct?
No, I actually turned these picks in. I mean, I put them up on Twitter, so yeah, they're mine.
Okay,
yeah,
Chiefs. Look at you taking both Monday night games. Look at
that, babe, Mike
Gumpy. You
yeah,
have.
I just I when I went through my numbers, these were the two teams that jumped. I mean, and usually what I do on my when I put them out there, I mean, I'm here at 5.5. I'll take the heat on that one.
Yeah.
Usually I do it off of the circle lines. I usually base all my numbers on the circle lines. So
hey, Mike, I feel like the biggest discrepancy on the circle lines versus your lines this week was the Broncos, and they easily covered. So congrats to you on that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that line was way out of order. I thought that was way out of whack.
Guppy, and you have the Chiefs, and then are you taking the under?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. 8 of the last 10 Monday Night Football games have gone under. Like Mike said, 8-4 this week. We're starting to see some. Cardinals haven't hit an over all year. Let's go.
And then Pat has the Cardinals and the Chiefs. Michael, thank you so much. We will see
you
on
we'll
Thursday.
Have a Mike. Have a good one, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to everyone else for watching. Gumpy, thank you to you for your nukes.
thank you for your picks, Tony.
Thank you. Mitt, thanks for running stuff back there.
That'd be Mitt.
Jay, thanks for running the board, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jay.
It. Appreciate it.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks,
hey.
Everyone, for watching. We'll be back on Thursday. If you can't watch on YouTube, this also goes out as a podcast every single day or every single time we have an episode. Obviously, we're all podcasts you can listen to, and vice versa. You get it. Good luck tonight. We will see you on Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place. Hammer. Dad.